Ladies and gentlemen, please notice that exits are conveniently located at the front and rear of this auditorium. When leaving the theater, we suggest that the exit at the front of the auditorium will allow you easier access to the parking areas. Thank you.
I'm going to assume that everyone else can hear me, so I will talk to them, the people out there, the audience, if they can hear me. Hey, everyone. Mike can't hear me, but you can. You see behind me, you see, we got our new studios being built. Hopefully it'll look really nice once everything's put up and painted and stuff like that. So I had to watch Roadhouse today because I was not able to watch it yesterday. Because I started watching Heat. So fun fact, Michael Mann, and I wish I had the book in front of me because I would start pimping it, but it's a sequel and a prequel to the movie Heat, the 1995 movie Michael Mann directed with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. And the book starts off right after the events of the movie. So I love that movie. And so I started reading the book. And so if you remember the movie, remember how it ends, this book starts off where it follows the Val Kilmer character, Chris, and the aftermath of what happened to him. And then what happens is the book jumps back to 1988, which is like 7 years prior to the events of this movie. And it talks about it follows Chris's life leading up to it. And then I think it jumps ahead, because I haven't gotten this far, jumps beyond the events to 2000. So I'm really interested in the book and I wanted to rewatch the movie. So last night I was going to go to bed and then the gunfight scene came on where they're in downtown LA and they're just going at it with assault rifles, which is a great scene. It's probably, I mean, one of the best gunfight scenes in cinema, probably and definitely in modern day cinema, but in cinema totally. So that's why I had to watch Roadhouse today, almost 4 or 5 hours before we did this, because I chose to watch Heat last night. So are you working now, Mike? No one can hear you, man. No one can hear you. Oh, you're muted.
I muted myself because I didn't want to hear people hear me fussing around, but yes, I am back. I'm good.
Excellent. Excellent. So I hope I entertain the audience with my story of reading Heat 2.
Up and running. So I'm going to, yes, if finally. You're fast forwarding through it, this means you're good to go. This is where you can stop and start listening.
I have like a hair in my glasses. So what's going on?
Nothing, you know,
should I redo the opening? Should I redo the highs? Like,
nah, that's all right. I've been feeling pretty down lately. I actually, I let a guy stab me in the gut after collecting a whole bunch of money and then let myself almost get hit by a train, but decided, maybe not.
And not today.
Headed down to the Florida Keys.
Yeah. Or the DR where they shot it.
He says, maybe not. He goes, maybe not.
Oh, that's right. Maybe not. Okay. So we're here to talk about the new Roadhouse, the 2024 version that is on Prime Video, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and a variety of other people. Yes, Conor McGregor, which we'll get into. So if you are a Patreon member, you might have seen the lead up episode we watched, which is we actually watched the original Roadhouse, the 1989 version with Patrick Swayze. There's a lot of callbacks to that movie in this, including the plot. Which is fine. So we kind of watched that, which Butler had never seen before. So if you're interested in that, that is a Patreon exclusive. So you'd have to join our community, which I highly recommend you do, because we've got a ton of content coming in the next like 3 or 4 months. I mean, we were just talking about, I'm going to say it now, Mike. Like, we are going to do a lead up series for the Apes movies, what is it? Planet of the Apes? What is it? I don't even know the names of them. The new ones. I've never seen them.
Planet of the Apes and something else. I should know because I love them, but yeah.
So we are doing those three leading up to a now showing episode of the new one that's coming out in May. And then, because I just offhandedly said to Butler, I jokingly that, because we were talking about the new Aliens trailer that came out. Aliens Romulus, right?
Right.
Romulus. Yep. And, And I was just like, well, and then he's like, I love Prometheus. And then we just started talking. And then Mike's, we should do all those. So then that's going to be another series we're doing, which I guess we're doing the AVP ones in there. So that'll be,
if we have to do Answer the Call for our Ghostbusters lead up, we have to do AVP for lovely.
So we'll be doing that. Those are, that lead up series is part of the Patreon exclusive. So you have to join the Forgotten Cinema community on patreon.com/forgottencinema in order for you to be part of that. But this is what we're going to, this is what we do. We just talk movies and it's a free flowing conversation. I highly recommend you join the community because we'd love interacting with everybody. So it'd be awesome if when we do those, we can actually get feedback, live feedback, and just kind of be able to talk with you guys about movies. So, but we're not here to talk about that. That's what we're doing. We got a lot of stuff coming. That's my pitch. We're here to talk about Roadhouse, the Prime Video Roadhouse 2024. I know we usually start off the main show, the Forgotten Cinema Show, the podcast where I'm just always like, Mike, what'd you think? So, I mean, I guess without having any kind of flair for originality, Mike, what'd you think?
I am so all over the place with this movie. I mean, it is like, I think I enjoyed watching it, but it is an absolute garbage pile, steaming pile of dog doo-doo, but the kind that I used to love in like the early 2000s. If Roadhouse exemplifies everything that was maybe wrong, but in the cultiest of great ways with 80s action cinema, Roadhouse is kind of everything that was wrong if like an early 2000s kind of movie.
Can you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you give me a comp to like an early 2000 films that you're kind of thinking about when you're watching this? If you don't, I hate putting you on the spot like that, but if you do, it'd be awesome.
I mean, like the remake of Point Break, okay. Probably one of them.
Come on. Best Women. That's like 2015, isn't it? Regardless. Come on.
But I'm not saying they're good. That's why it exemplifies those movies that were just always on. Or let's say the DMX kind of the movie with DMX as like a cop where he's investigating with like Steven Seagal or something. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Oh, not Belly. That was Seagal wasn't in that.
Those kind of movies that are just they're in theaters, but they're just a step beyond like movie, like DVD bin, and they're going in the DVD bin probably in a couple of months afterward. Those kind of movies. That's what.
Yes. Exit Wounds.
Exit Wounds.
Exit Wounds.
Which I used to like when I was watching it when I was like obviously 12 or 13. Like obviously.
Listen, I love me some DMX. I can't. What's the name of the movie? Because it's my every time we talk about DMX, I always bring it up. And it's a Chris Rock movie. He directed it. And I believe it's called Take Five, but I think that's wrong. Chris, I'm going to look it up right now because DMX has a scene in that movie where Chris Rock's character is in jail. Top Five. That's what it's called. Top Five. Okay. Not Take Five. And DMX has a scene with Chris Rock. Chris Rock's in like jail for some reason. Like he just gets picked up or something. And DMX is in there. And there's like, they have a scene and it's like DMX is awesome in the scene. I love it. I love it. So I always recommend Top Five. So I got to remember that movie because I always say it wrong. But go ahead.
So it kind of reminded me of those. But it's just kind of like Roadhouse. It never gets schlocky enough. And for every time I go, oh, yeah, it goes back down to kind of being like, no. So, I mean, obviously I'm coming from a place where I just saw Roadhouse. So I don't have any love for Roadhouse that I'm sure a lot of our other viewers are going to. And I know I'm probably going to catch flack with that, but Roadhouse isn't a great movie. It has some great scenes, but it's not as amazing. Butler. It's become a cult classic because everyone's like, because it's like The Room is a cult classic.
So bad. It's good. No, it's not like The Room, but I hear what you're saying.
It's not like The Room, but yeah, it's that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't have that kind of nostalgia love for it. I appreciated the 80s-ness of it, but I don't have that kind of nostalgia love going into this. So I'm sure a lot of people who are going to hate on this movie for maybe reasons that doesn't deserve it are going to hate on it for that like hatred that it's not hitting the right nostalgia beats for them. But the things I don't like about it are the style choices where it's just all over the place. And I'm somebody who really likes Doug Liman films. Usually I do like Jake Gyllenhaal. I know he's got a lot of haters out there for his early work. Like Prince of Persia, like when he started blowing up, but before he went to do stage.
Sure.
We talk about a bunch on the podcast.
We talk about this. Me and you talk about this all the time. And I have the same conversation with my wife sometimes because she doesn't like Ben Affleck. And first of all, I love Ben Affleck. She doesn't like Ben Affleck. the fact that, like, because she hates Armageddon, and I'm like, I said the same thing to her. I'll say, Prince of Persia, I'm sorry, but like, you're gonna take that paycheck. If you were up and coming, absolutely. Like Prince of Persia was a big movie, you're gonna say yes to that movie because saying yes to that movie gets you other movies that you might want to do, but also it solidifies you. It's a possibility of solidifying you as a star. So you're going to say yes to that movie. You have to, just like Ben Affleck has to say yes to Armageddon and all that stuff. So I understand that you can't really, the one thing about Jake Gyllenhaal, I think we've talked about on the main show, is that he kind of went and did some Broadway stuff. He did some theater and he came back and he did like Nightcrawler, and he came back and he did Enemy, which we did for Why the Book Wins podcast. So he came back and did like a lot of these, like, they weren't indies, but they were like smaller films, but like films that he wanted to do, chose to do. And so he's done real, and he's awesome in, not Moonlight Mile. That is the name of the movie, Moonlight Mile. That's with Dustin Hoffman. He's great in that. And that was the younger one. And then the one that October Sky, he's really good in that. So I don't buy the Jake Gyllenhaal hate, because he is a solid actor. And I mean, he gets a little crazy here with his lifting routine in this one, but you know, but that's fine. But I don't get the hate, because I really do like him.
Oh, me too.
look at your mom.
Hey, Ma. He does seem like a down-to-earth nice guy.
Unlike you, Butler.
But I think he is a great actor. I don't know if my mom's seen Nightcrawler, which isn't a great
movie. He's not good in that. He's not a nice guy in that.
He's not a nice guy in that, but he's really good in that, even though I don't really like the movie that much.
We liked Enemy. We both liked Enemy.
Enemy's very good.
Yeah.
And he's both a nice guy and not a nice guy in that.
This is true.
But yeah, so I don't come at it from like a position of hating either of those things, or hating Jake Gyllenhaal, or, you know, hating that, oh, it's ruining my nostalgia for Roadhouse. But I just think the movie is all over the place. But I did have fun with it, I guess. I never was like, 2 hours, but I never really felt like it was 2 hours, because there was always something new in the movie, which was good.
My biggest thing with the film was I kept third act problems. Like when we got to the third act, and it was like, and I was like, what's happening? Like there were decisions being made and choices being made and just character decisions. And I was like, this makes no sense. And I could say third act problems, but honestly, it's probably more second act and third act problems, because second act doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't lead to anything where, like when you're watching a movie, with the exception of like a mystery or something like a film noir, where there's going to be a double cross, stuff like that. When you're watching this type of film, you kind of know where it's going. You kind of know what's happening.
Right.
And where we're leading to. But this film, it's just the second act just meanders. And it's just like he gets to the bar in the first act. He's there. He's going to start fighting. And he's going to start protecting the bar. And then second act rolls around. It's like a bunch of montages. It's more fights. It's, we got to get him. We got to send more guys after him. We got to do this. And then they introduce Knox, which is the Conor McGregor character. And you're like, okay, here's his main antagonist. And that kind of fizzles a little bit. They have that one fight. And then
he goes away and does a whole bunch. The second fight comes out of nowhere.
And Knox is just doing whatever, the whole thing at the end when he gets to the boat to get to their boat, and he gets to, I don't know why he's going to the house. I don't know why he's in a student driver car drinking coconuts. Cause all I'm thinking is like, he's going to have to pee really quick. Like, cause that's a lot of coconuts. And he's just like, where is everybody? And I'm like, and then you know that they're on a boat in the middle. It's like, it's stuff like that. It was just like, okay, now we're just making decisions that make no sense. So you don't have a nostalgia for the first one. I kind of do. It's so bad, it's good.
Right.
And there's a lot of callbacks to that. And
I appreciated the follows,
but it pretty much follows the plot of the original in terms of like how he gets there. Like even little scenes, I was surprised that I kind of had, like the scene that we talked about in the original one where he first arrives, and then the waitress shows, this is from the Patrick Swayze.
Get some breakfast.
Get some breakfast. They do that scene here. And I'm like, is the bartender going to start singing now too? Is she going to get behind the screen and start singing? Like I didn't, I didn't understand that. What else did you, was there something in there that you appreciated more or you liked that they kind of looked to the Double Deuce sign in the background that was next to the bookshop? Did you catch that?
The Double Deuce was nice. I mean, I like that they actually call it the Roadhouse and they kind of make a point of making fun of the fact that it wasn't called a Roadhouse in the first movie. Right. I like that they kind of kept the music the same for the most part. And obviously there was the cage around the band, although it never came down. I like that kind of stuff.
It wasn't a very good cage.
No, it was open on the side. So someone clearly like at the beginning throws a beer bottle at a guy.
Yeah.
And then Conor McGregor just rips it open. Although Conor McGregor apparently in this film knocks. Has the strength of 35 men. Yeah, knocks and walks like he's got pants.
I think that's just how
it's an exaggerated version of how he walks. But yeah,
I was going to say, but I will say this, that his character introduction is how you introduce a character in a movie. Like I don't know if we talked about this, but I might've read something or I might've watched something that the art of introducing your main character, your main antagonist has kind of like gone by the wayside. Like a lot of filmmakers don't know how to introduce a character because they just don't understand it. Like, right. You know, like just a good way to intro somebody. Like his introduction is a really good introduction. He doesn't live up to it in terms of his character, not his acting, just his character doesn't really live up to like what we expected. You know,
I almost think that's because he comes in too late, which like you said, he only has the two fights. He kind of, the second fight's kind of like, let's throw him into the final fight just to have him. But I mean, if you introduce him earlier in act one, cause I think he comes in too late in act one or act two, rather, I'm sorry. You have him come in toward the beginning of act two, give him more stuff to do, have him and introduce him in Italy where he is. That's a good, like you said, it's a good scene, but he needs more interaction with the characters. He needs to be more of a thorn in Dalton's side. And he really just kind of is.
Yeah. And the whole idea that he is from the father of Billy Magnussen's character, Brant, that he is, his dad's in prison and Brant is taking over what his dad was doing, which is basically just putting up, he wants to put one giant luxury resort. Yeah. Right. The whole island. Like if you look at the plans, the whole island is going to be the resort, not just like where the roadhouse is, everything, which is a pretty big resort. But okay. So he's taking over his dad's plans. But then his dad is like, here, screwing it up. I'm going to, he sends Knox in because he's got spies everywhere. The whole father character subplot is just kind of tossed in there and it only serves the purpose of what happens to Brant at the end of the movie, which makes no sense. And then just the fact that Knox shows up, which honestly makes no sense. So that whole thing is just odd. But I wanted to talk about the Dalton character because there's a big difference with this character than the Swayze one. They both have a checkered past. They both have that kind of like they killed somebody, but didn't mean to in their past. My problem, or not my problem, but you don't set it up. I find it hard to, well, that was weird. I find it hard to believe that this Dalton character is somebody that could be pushed to the edge of he would just murder people because the Patrick Swayze Dalton character is somebody who has been a cooler. He's been a bouncer. He's somebody that we're supposed to know and assume that he's somebody that has had to fight and scratch his entire life to get to where he was. Like he's destitute. He's poor. He has one car. He just pays cash. He doesn't have any ties to anything. He travels the country, walks the earth kind of thing. You know, that's his character. So the fact that, but he got out of control and he killed somebody and he knows that he can't go to that place. He doesn't want to go to that place. So at the end of the first movie, while it is ridiculous, you know, polar bear fell on me, that ending is ridiculous. It's more believable than this Dalton character because this Dalton character is a UFC fighter who kills a guy in the ring, in the octagon, but it's, you know, clearly just gets out of hand. That doesn't translate to somebody, his character in this movie who goes, you don't want to get me to a place because then I'm going to do things. You know, I'm going to kill people and I'm going to do things. I don't get that. I don't get that from his background as a UFC fighter to what happened to him to this, because they don't show anything in between that. You know what I mean? Like they show a guy who's clearly now depressed and somebody who, you know, is just down on his luck, but they don't show that one scene where he goes to fight, which I didn't realize was Post Malone. In the beginning of the movie, I'm like,
oh, you didn't realize that?
I did. And then I'm like, is that him? Is that him? I kept saying, that's gotta be him. Right. And so that one scene doesn't do it for me. Like, I need to see something in between, like what happens to him after the UFC fight. Now, granted, I'm asking for a 3-hour film, but that's my one kind of comment about the differences between the Dalton characters. I know that's not fair to do that with a remake like this. It's inevitable that you're going to do that. But in and of itself, in this film, I don't believe that this Dalton character would get to the point where he just starts killing people and breaking people's hyoid bones and stuff like that. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I guess I believe you. I guess I believe that it is hard to kind of believe he would get to that point because he does regret what he did, but he does have that moment where the doc is trying to ask him where he comes from. He comes from Montana. He doesn't want to talk about where he comes from. And what I got was that, like, maybe he's had a worse life than just that one UFC fight. Like, maybe UFC is where he went to channel that anger and that power. But I get that you don't see that. Like you said, you'd want to see more. But at the same time, when he does cross that threshold and he starts killing people, when he breaks the hyoid bone, I was like, yes, finally, let's go. Because I was like,
I
hated about, like, the last one, when you don't get to see him take anybody out. It's just you walk through and all the people are out, which he only takes out the one guy, then he's thrown in the truck, but then he takes out like 10 other guys later. But I like that we actually see that, because that's a payoff. I've been watching this movie for 2 hours waiting for him to beat the crap out of people, and now I actually get to see it. Whereas in Roadhouse, you get one big fight and then the old man beats the crap out of him.
I like that scene too, when he breaks his neck, or breaks the bone. I think, you know what, maybe we need that kind of, like, that Sam Elliott character to come in there and give us backstory on Dalton.
He's
not a prima donna UFC fight. I'm not saying UFC fighting is, you know, soft, not at all. I would not do it. And that's great. Not my thing. I'm not fighting. I'm not saying that, but they are like popping circumstance a lot of times, you know, like they talk about, like, oh, he was your friend or that kind of thing. You know, there is that kind of, like, it's like a respectful, like, it's like boxing almost, but obviously not, but it's right. That kind of, like, you know, camaraderie. That's the word I was looking for. I think we just need some character to come be like, well, you don't know what he's been through since then. And then we kind of, and it's going to be an expo dump, but we need it. I think we need it here to kind of buy the fact that, okay, he's done some serious stuff and they're going to push him to where I want to see that. So
yeah,
because quite honestly, even though they kind of tell you at the end that it doesn't happen, he murders another guy. So he murders, like, Knox, like, pretty quick, but obviously no, because he walks off. I think I just need something like that. If it's an expo dump, it's an expo dump, but I kind of buy into the fact that this Dalton would do these things at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I just enjoy that he does do that. Like, I enjoy him setting up the cop and putting the bullets in. It's like, yeah, like, they're going to find out it's you. Yeah, maybe. All right. It's like, he just doesn't care.
And I kind of think like about that. What did you think about the father, the cop, that whole thing? The whole thing with the daughter, the same thing like they did in the first one with the love interest, which is the doctor. What did you think about that whole thing?
I hated the whole, like, I didn't understand, like, any of it. I thought that it just didn't make any sense. Like, first of all, they're lifelong Florida residents, but they clearly have the heaviest Portuguese accents. And you know what? I'm fine with them being Portuguese, but they can't be lifelong Florida resident. At least she can't have the accent. If he's going to have the accent, like, she's lived in Florida all her life. Somehow she's kept that super heavy accent. I don't buy it. And, like, he's dirty, but he's not dirty. My daughter's been kidnapped, and then his daughter's actually kidnapped, and he still doesn't really seem to really care. But then at the end, all of a sudden, he comes in and goes, listen, Dalton, I got all this cleaned up. Why don't you just get out of here? Like, where is this coming from? No. Yeah. How are you cleaning this up? You're dirty, and your source of pay is gone. I don't get any of that. I think the doc was kind of shoehorned in. I would actually have rather had Dalton and I can't remember her character's name, the owner of the Roadhouse, just kind of get together. Like,
Frankie,
I don't need like a shoehorned Doc back in here that you don't really need her. I think she was kind of superfluous, because if they kidnap Frankie, the owner of the Roadhouse, and all of a sudden she's dead, then Dalton's still got to go save her. It makes more sense to capture her than some girl he's been on one date with. It just doesn't make a lot of sense plot wise for me. That would make it a much more like insular, like kind of like, oh, this part of the plot, if Frankie was both the owner of the Roadhouse and someone Dalton was with.
I think we're also seeing probably a lot of subplot threads that are from previous versions that didn't make that, just they kind of kept in there. Like,
I wonder how many versions of Roadhouse remake scripts are there.
I know this was just originally started as a movie with Ronda Rousey in the lead, and she dropped out of the, you know, so this was in the works for a while. So I'm wondering if a lot of this stuff was just kind of kept in there. Like, again, with the third act stuff, the complication of having the sheriffs be you can have the dirty sheriff, but the fact that he's the father of the love interest,
very convenient.
Ellie, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And he's just they're so dirty and they don't care. They're just going to shoot him
in the boatyard. Yeah.
Yeah.
How does she know that the boatyard anyway? Is that where he kills all of his people?
I don't. Yeah. So that all that stuff is just the Billy Madison character, Ben Brandt's character, his whole thing is just, I don't understand. So there's a lot of stuff I think we're missing stuff that's just not in there. I think the movie starts off great. I think it's got a lot of good action. It's got a lot of good fight scenes. It's got a lot of good just kind of moments. But then when you start kind of digging into the story, it's just all over the place, and it's really tough to kind of maintain. And that's why I say, when I say third act problems, they're really more second act issues, because nothing is set up for the third act.
Yeah. Fun fact. And I know, again, people watching this are going to be like, rah, 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 rah. The original Roadhouse has the same freaking problems. The original Roadhouse has the same story problems, but everyone ignores it because it's a cult classic. And while it does have some other better moments, like it needs that Sam Elliott character and stuff, I feel like this is just as bad as Roadhouse, but in a different time. So where Roadhouse came out in 1989, we're 35 years away from that. The audience doesn't accept some of the things that were okay in Roadhouse's time, but are no longer okay here. But maybe that's purposeful to try to be more like Roadhouse, the original, be more like an 80s movie.
Mike disagrees.
I do think this movie sucks, but I agree. I think Roadhouse.
Do you think it sucks with that many U's though? Sucks with that many U's?
Because would he say that that the original Roadhouse also sucks with that many U's? Because it does. If you're coming at it not having grown up with it, and I love 80s movies, Roadhouse also sucks, but it's also enjoyable. Roadhouse, I will say 1989's Roadhouse is more enjoyable than this, but it's not like by a ton.
I mean, okay. I mean, we laugh at, I mean, first of all, I think it's really cute with John and Lloyd, and they get the arms around each other. That's nice. That's sweet. I mean, like, we don't get the hokey dialogue of like, I brought a JCPenney, to this town, you know, like we didn't get like a lot of those hokey lines. I think,
Some hokey lines from like the nice guy, biker guy.
Knox
obviously has a lot of cheap lines. And then it seems like it's completely ADR'd, but Knox and Dalton have lines to each other while they're fighting that just sound like shoehorned in.
Oh man, his last line,
the piano, sounds a little out of tune.
Oh, I hated that line. I hated that. Like, I know that Dalton's tough. I know he's tough, but he's taking full blown shots to his head, like from a massive individual. And he's just like, nothing phases him. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know how you're doing that. Like, I hated that line at the end of the movie. I couldn't stand that line.
Now, I don't know if this bothers you, but it always bothers me whenever you get a movie like Rocky or Jake Gyllenhaal's Southpaw, which is another good Gyllenhaal movie, or you get like, I think I just said Rocky. Any movie or like this? Any movie with
did
a fight?
You get hit in the back of the head and your short-term memory all messed up.
I did. It's all messed up.
I don't want to cut you off. I'm going to go back to that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Any of these movies with fighters?
Creed.
Why does? Yeah. No one has cauliflowered ears. I'm sorry. I know you want to make your main guy you're like a pretty boy, but you got to give him
some
damage.
This is Hollywood, dude.
This is like fighters. It always bothers me. But then you have fighters playing against them, and they all have cauliflowered ears. It's like, why does McGregor's
character? Because they're the bad guys. The bad guys have to look ugly.
UFC. This is
Hollywood 101.
That always kind of bothered me. Like the face is what counts. Just give them a little bit of stuff.
So you want some ugly mug to be the lead
in a
movie?
I want them to
nose, like.
Just like a little bit of cauliflower around the earth. I just want to see that they're a fighter. Like don't buy that they're fighters.
Hey Jake, like, we want you to get ripped for this film. Oh, I can't wait, Doug. Can't wait. But listen, you're gonna look. We're gonna gross you up a little. We're gonna give you nasty ears.
A little bit.
We don't care what your public says.
It doesn't need a bent nose or anything. Just a little bit. It doesn't make any sense for him to have like. Oh, he pulls up his shirt and he's all scarred. He's a UFC fighter. He's not a knife fighter. He's not like a ninja. It's not the Wolverine where he pulls like it just doesn't make sense to me that's where'd you get those scars? UFC. How?
No,
he's getting shanked in every bar fight he's going into.
That goes back to what we talked about with the whole Expo Dump thing. I think that goes right along those lines. Never mind that. Like he gets stabbed in the gut and he's just like,
you want your knife back?
God. I'm sorry, but like you don't have a visceral like you. I know you don't want to get mad until you murder somebody, but like you can get a little annoyed that you just got stabbed in the gut. You could like punch the guy in the face or something.
I was so sure the guy had stabbed him in the money that I was like, okay, that's why he's not being affected
in the money.
Well, because he's got a hoodie on. So I thought he stabbed him in the money in his pocket. And I was like, okay, that's why he's not being affected. And then he's like, nope.
Maybe.
As soon as I pull this out, there's going to be a lot of blood.
One of the other subplots I didn't like, which could probably go along to the lines of the points this movie sucks, is that the whole girl at the bookshop and the father, why? As soon as she starts talking about the tree at the beginning of the movie, I'm just like, no, I don't care about this. I don't care about any of this. Like this makes no sense. And like I don't get that part.
It's to give him, they probably read the script and were like, listen, he can't care about the doc. He needs somebody else to go back for. He's not going back for the doc, which makes sense. Cause he's not, but that's why you have him fall for Frankie. And actually that whole place has a meaning to him.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's a forced love interest and it's really not a love interest. It's one day. They don't do the whole thing it did in the original Ross, which is prevalent in the 80s and 90s, which was the love interest. And then they meet and then they hook up and they're not going to do that here because we don't do that in modern cinema these days. I get that. It doesn't make any sense, but there's really no, to me, if you're not going to do that, which is fine, you need to have more of an emotional connection with the doc. And to your point, there's no way to do that unless you make the movie longer. So instead of doing the bogus love interest, which nobody likes, we're going to do the bogus I like kid stuff like that. You're just replacing one for the other.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't And it doesn't make any sense. And I just don't get it. That's like a completely different movie. And I didn't like the whole Western thing that she kept talking about. Like, oh, you're kind of like this Western. Just stop.
Yeah.
No, don't. The movie can be that. You don't have to reference it. The movie can be that without having a precocious kid in there, having to like have the, oh, look at the thing she says. Nobody care. I don't care. I don't care about that. that whole thing. I didn't care. The whole, they burn it down and it was like, where are they? Oh, they're in the hospital. Doesn't visit them. We don't see him visit them.
We don't know if they're okay, if they're not okay.
Yeah.
Like I was waiting for him to go visit the hospital bed and find out like she's in really bad condition. And that's what like pushes him over the edge.
Right.
But he's like,
two guys, sir, burn that down.
You need to get out of there, sir. Sir. Yeah.
Two guys.
First of all, who let him in there?
I know, but only one pays the price for it. It's almost like that. He
stacks like eight bodies in that pickup truck, bro.
No, he doesn't. There's only one.
I thought it's bodies in that pickup truck. It's just the one guy.
He's got the one guy, and then he goes against the ice and puts the guy in ice.
The ice for that one guy.
for some reason where I don't understand how he knows there's money being hidden on an island. I don't get that. John.
Yeah,
way to back me up. Yeah. I know I was right. So he puts him on ice so he can do the whole short-term memory nonsense that doesn't work, which is dumb. Like that was part of his plan all along. And then he steals a box of money, which I don't get where we found that from unless I missed it. I mean, I was paying attention in this movie.
All he says is there's a meeting at 5 a.m.
Exactly. And then that translates to,
well, I think maybe the meeting was at that one where that one boat was, and they were going to take that boat out to the meeting place. But yeah. Who knows?
No, nobody knows. And then we have the Jack Reacher ending where he goes on the bus like he's going to go to another roadhouse. Like I travel the country and I hate to become a bartender.
The whole point should have been like he finds a home where he doesn't feel like he wants to kill himself anymore. And instead it's like, oh, nope, let me leave it. And then I'm just going to travel, be depressed again. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, we agree, John. We were talking about third act, second act problems. It falls apart a lot further before that too. There's just a lot of stuff that just kind of doesn't, it's not, I'm talking myself out of this movie. I enjoy the fight scenes, even though the fight scenes are like hypersensitive. I read that they did multi-pass technique, which is just basically overlaying the images onto each other. But I think they also did a lot of quick cuts too, like when he punches and then the cut to, they did a lot of that stuff, like cut within the scene.
There's some stuff that's really good. And then there's some stuff like the beginning of the final fight with Knox in the bar after the boat crash.
Yeah.
Is all, you can see the stunt doubles, which are all right. If you want to,
it's fine.
Nowadays you should be able to hide it a little better, but also they do like blurry cuts or you can't see because there's obstacles in front of where you're trying to see. It does a lot of weird cinematography that I don't like because it looks like they're actually swinging punches, but the way that the camera is just doesn't focus. And then like maybe 30, 40 seconds into that fight, then it cleans up and they never go back to those weird images again. It's like the editor started with it and then Doug Liman was like, oh, that's crap. But you know, we already have it. So keep that 40 seconds in, just don't do it for the rest of the fight. Let's go just Steadicam and the quick cuts and stuff.
Yeah. And like the Frankie character, which I wanted to bring up Jessica Williams, cause I'm going to again pitch you to go watch Shrinking, cause she's in Shrinking with Harrison Ford. And I'm blanking on his name.
Jason Segel.
She's very good in that show. And she's good in here, but there's a part in here where like, she leaves the, like, it's almost like, okay, when she leaves the roadhouse, so, and then Knox goes in and has the big fight that you were talking about, the fight that they had.
Right.
She leaves the roadhouse to go yell at Brant. It's like, it's almost like in the script, it was like, okay, so Frankie leaves. Why? Well, we have to get you out of there. Why? We just don't want you there during the fight. Like,
I thought the exact same thing.
We need you to be hysterical. Like, in the parking lot for some unknown reason. Like you grew up with Brant, but we're not telling anybody you grew up with Brant. Stuff like that.
Where is she during the fight? Brant drives off. What does she do? Grab onto the door and like let the car go. Like she should be like seeing the fights all happening.
It's dumb. It's stupid. And then and the parking lot is like, you know, 100 yards away and she can't get back in time to realize that her entire bar is getting just like, that's the other thing. John doesn't like the fights. That's the other thing. Like when they're fighting, when the bar fight starts, when one dude's like, bar fight, what are we? And then we're on the canoes.
Oh, yeah.
We're climbing the canoe.
Is the bar fights work like that? Is it like a food fight? You just declare it and then you can literally just punch the guy next to you and then they start fighting. Some people are fighting the people they were sitting with, which doesn't make any sense. So, yeah,
what is this place called again? Coral Keys or Crystal Keys or something?
Glass Key.
Maybe Glass Key is just a pit. People that live there shouldn't be living there. Maybe it's just a bunch of like no good. Like that's what it makes it out to be. Like it's just a town of just.
I mean, I always thought the Keys
no good like Knicks.
Mostly rich people, but had vacation spots. But I guess I was wrong.
John, you're calling out a Razzie already? I mean, it's March.
I think he was all right.
Yeah, here's my thing with Conor McGregor. In the first maybe like 15 minutes of his performance, I'm like, are they ADRing him? Like, is this somebody else's voice? Because this doesn't sound like him. And maybe I just don't hear him enough, or maybe he was trying to not be as thick with his accent. But it's still in there. It didn't sound like him to me.
He's saying everything behind this weird, like, just like,
yeah,
smile. But, so he's always, everything he's saying is going to have like this weird smile voice to it. Cause
he's got a career in just being like a baddie. Like, go ahead, go be a James Bond villain or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could see him going, like, obviously he has to tone it back from this, or just do more over the, like, be in Fast and the Furious as the next Fast and Furious bad guy. Cause that's kind of what he is.
I'm tired of those.
He popped up in Italy. There's one more left. You're almost done till the spin-offs.
Maybe he will be family.
Like, that, like, him appearing in Italy reminded me, him in Italy reminded me of when we were introduced to Jason Segel's character in Fast and Furious, when he just goes to the hospital and finds his brother in the hospital bed and then just kills everyone in the hospital for no reason. Like, I'm like, okay, so Conor McGregor is a Fast and Furious villain in this. Like, I'm waiting Dalton to join Vin and his Vin and Luden crew.
Well, no, he would. You haven't seen the last one. You haven't seen the last one where Jason Momoa is the bad guy, where he's dancing, he's running around going, yeah,
he told me about it, painting fingernails on dead bodies.
I don't, whatever. It's just dumb. It's just, again, choices for unknown reasons. We're making these character choices because we think they're funny.
Listen, I'm not defending the movie. I'm defending it from people who would also say that Roadhouse is a superior movie to like the nth degree. I'm saying they're both bad movies. But they are enjoyable in how bad they are. It's not like I didn't have fun watching the badness.
To be fair, Mrs. Butler, we don't think that this is a good script as well. It's supposed to be fighting and that's it. But, you know, I don't think we were expecting Oscar material here.
I got essentially what I was expecting. Maybe. Yeah. But I think it does.
You like it
here. No, I mean, I enjoyed watching it, but no, I didn't like it. I don't think it was a great movie. I think Roadhouse in and of itself isn't a great movie. And I think that's why people like it, because it's quintessentially 80s cheese and that it needs to stay there. That's not something that it was always like we talk about with trying to remake Ghostbusters, exactly how Ghostbusters is. It's always going to be. Mm-hmm. You're always going to fall flat from remaking something like that because it is a movie all its own. It can't be redone.
So in the main show starting May 1st, we always ask, you know, is this something you would recommend, or who would you recommend this to? So I'd like to ask that here, since we're critical of this film, like, is this something you would kind of recommend to anybody? Okay. Go check out Roadhouse. Would you,
if somebody's like, oh, I'm really bored, I'll be like, listen, you're going to watch it. You're not going to you're going to watch the train wreck. It's not an unwatchable film. We've watched unwatchable films before. It's not a film where you're like, just afterward. You're like,
I love everything we watch, Butler. I enjoy everything we watch.
But yeah, I mean, it's quick. If you're looking for like a shut your brain off movie, this is definitely one of those.
It's quick. It's 2 hours, 2 hours. And
It doesn't feel like long. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find too many movies outside of like horror movies now that are under, 120 minutes. It's just, you're not going to find those. No one knows how to cut a movie anymore.
Right. Can you hear my dogs barking?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I can't help that. I have dogs, people. Okay. This is live. They're barking because my wife's getting home from her big nerd fest where she was out today. So she read this book that's like about dragons or something. And she had her friends all read them. I don't know. And they had a big nerd fest tonight. So she's been doing that. So I can't stop the dogs from barking. They'll stop. What's funny is the loudest is the smallest, and he's a pain in the butt. All right. So I agree with you. I think there's better movies to watch. I think if you're looking for an action film, even though the pint John thinks the action is lame, there is action in there. I think there's probably better things out there that you probably can do on a Saturday night. I'm wrapping up because I don't think these should, our Forgotten Cinema, they're now showing, shouldn't be long.
No.
before we go, I know I kind of like pumped the Patreon stuff. But if you want to kind of do that again, or you want to talk about the main show, or you want to talk about some of the episodes that we got coming up in the, on season 17, you know, have at it, Butler.
All right.
Take a breath.
All right. Let me try one of my new banners. Hold on. Boom. Yeah, that's right. And I got this one. Don't forget to like and subscribe. So don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. I think the only people that are watching this right now, live anyway, already do. But if you're watching this after, we would love if you liked and subscribed. That'd be great. Check us out on Forgotten Cinema Patreon, patreon.com/Forgotten Cinema. You can find these live streams are eventually going to become Patreon only. We haven't decided exactly when yet, but we figured our first few, as we're getting everything going, should be for everybody so that we can get more people to be interested in us. But we have our lead up series. Our Afterlife episode just dropped yesterday. Lately yesterday, technically today. And we have another now showing, which is going to be on Tuesday, where we're going to talk about Frozen Empire. We're going to live stream that Tuesday night, 9:30. And then the next day, that's going to be available for everybody as well. So check all that up. Like Field said, we're going to do the Aliens movies later on the summer. We've got Planet of the Apes coming up for lead up. So we have a ton of Patreon content. And May 1st, we're coming back for our main show, the podcast, the commercials, everything. We're back. This is for a commercial. So hopefully that'll be gone soon. You know, I'm suffering for my art here. So check us out, subscribe, tell everybody you know.
Art.
That kind of stuff.
I don't know if I say art, but yeah. All right. So, that's it. Thanks. Hey, John, we're going Monday night. If you want to come with, if you want to see Frozen Empire and IMAX, just hit me up. We'll take that. I'm more than willing to have you come with us, man. All right. So everyone, thanks for joining us for the live. Thanks for watching. If you're watching this recorded, we hope you enjoy it. We hope you like some of the clips that come out. Mike and I are pretty pleased with what's happening in terms of our, social stuff. Like we're kind of getting a lot of, traction there. Your mother wants to get a haircut, Mike, so we'll get that going.
Everybody wants to. So,
I love how you got to go to the salon, you fancy boy. All right. So
I go to Sports Clips.
Oh, there you go. All right. So we'll see everyone later. Thanks for watching. I'm Mike Field.
I'm Mike Butler.
And this has been Forgotten Cinema, now showing Roadhouse. Well, the 2024 one.
You want to call it Roadhouse Prime since it's not Amazon Prime?
No, I don't want to call it Prime. Yeah, like
Optimus I don't Prime. Know. Yeah. All right.
Bye, guys.